We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
The Jason and John Show.
He is Mike Schmitz, NBA draft analyst for ESPN, and he joins us now. Mike, what's happening, man?
Not much, just gearing up, you know, 10 days, so fired up.
Yes, sir. Yes, it is certainly an exciting time here in Memphis as well. On that, on Memphis and the Grizzlies having the number two pick, is there a debate in your mind, should there be a debate in your mind, about who the Grizzlies select at number two between Ja Morant and R.J. Barrett?
Not in my mind. I think Ja Morant is the second best prospect in this draft. Right. I think he has the second most upside behind Zion Williamson. You know, I think he's a franchise point guard for 10, 15 years, and his explosiveness, you know, his ability to make others better, that's exactly what I would be looking for if I were the Grizzlies. But, you know, R.J. Barrett is a great player in his own right. I think he's going to be an NBA All-Star. But to me, Ja Morant's upside is too hard to pass on.
For Grizzlies fans, and I know this is real general, but should they be leaning, he'll be like De'Aaron Fox? Should they be leaning, he'll be like Russell Westbrook?
You know, I think his feel for the game is superior to the – I mean, they're different, right? All those guys are different. Mm-hmm. You don't want to compare one guy and say he's identical. I think physically he reminds me a little of De'Aaron in terms of his explosiveness, in terms of his frame. De'Aaron is a tougher defender than Ja, but he's a better passer than both of those guys. He actually reminds me a little of Trae Young in terms of his passing.
Okay.
He's the best passer of the draft. He led the nation in assists. He's extremely unselfish. He likes getting others involved. So I think it's rare to have that combination of a guy who's a freak athlete, who's impossible to keep in front, but then can also make every single read necessary.
I'm with you 100%. The weaknesses you point out, I watched your breakdown of him. It was fantastic. Defensive effort, turnover-prone, scoring efficiency. Which of those would you be most concerned about in terms of for his entire career? Would it be the efficiency? Is effort a thing you can fix and he's got the tools? What do you think of those three weaknesses? Which one might be the one you'd be most concerned about?
Yeah, I think just the defensive side of the ball is the area he has, you know, the most room to grow.
Yep.
Just in terms of bringing it all the time and staying locked in, because I've seen it for stretches. I mean, at Chris Paul camp this past summer, he was incredible defensively. That's really what he did. It's a point guard. It's a camp with all point guards,
yep.
Right? So you're playing off the ball. You got to find a way to stand out. And he was maybe the best defender there. So I know he has it in him. It's just kind of turning it up consistently. But, you know, I think a lot of those areas are going to improve as he gets stronger. I think it's a physical maturation thing in a lot of ways. And, I mean, don't forget, he was like 140 pounds four or five years ago. You know, he was a big-time late bloomer. So I think all those things are going to improve in time.
We are, of course, talking to Mike Schmitz, NBA draft analyst for ESPN. You've got a great piece up at ESPN Plus right now with Jonathan Gaboni, sort of about his game and the breakdowns of various parts of it. How do you think Ja will do the bulk of his scoring, at least early on in the NBA? Like, where do you see it coming from? Is it all just driving the downhill to the rim? Like, how do you see him doing the majority of his scoring?
Yeah, I think getting downhill, whether it's in transition or in pick and roll, you know, he's an aggressive guy who likes to put pressure on the rim. He's obviously extremely explosive. You know, I think in year one, there's going to be a learning curve, right? Like, he can shoot it. He's not a knockdown guy, and he's not overly physical. So I think, you know, it's going to take him a little bit to kind of become an efficient NBA scorer. But, you know, I think a lot of it's, like I said, is going to come in transition. It's going to come in, like, nobody's going to be able to keep him in front in pick and roll. Like, if you're dropping back and you're the big kind of sitting back and trying to contain him, it's going to be really difficult. He's so dynamic with the ball. And then he can make, like I said, he can make every single pass. So mm-hmm. I think that's going to open up scoring opportunities for him as well.
A lot of focus, too, with the, you know, addition of Ja Morant, if that's the direction that the Grizzlies go, is the pairing with him and Jaren Jackson Jr. Mm-hmm. How do you sort of envision that? Like, how successful do you see them as a tandem?
I love it. I think they could be the best point guard big man combination in the NBA in 5-6 years. You know, that wouldn't shock me one bit. It just in terms of having a guy like Jaren who can space the floor, right? Like, that's going to give Ja, you know, the driving lanes he needs. The driving lanes he didn't necessarily always have at Murray State as well. I mean, they played, you know, they had a lot of shooters around them. They played small, but But they didn't have a guy, obviously, like Jaren Jackson, who can step out and shoot, you know, 36% from three. And then having a guy like Jaren, who you can also pitch it back to, he can handle a little bit. And then defensively, I think Jaren's going to help him a lot as well, just in terms of being a guy who can protect the rim and kind of clean up some of his mistakes. So, you know, two really young guys, two great personalities, locker room guys. I think it's going to be a home run for Memphis.
Well, Schmitz, it's music to our listeners' ears. They're loving what you're saying about Ja. I'll ask you about RJ because I thought it was interesting. We had Gavoni on last week, and he thinks clearly that RJ is going to be a superstar. Do you think superstar for him? Just your thoughts on RJ and the sort of the ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, you know, superstar, I guess it depends on the definition of that word, right? Like, are there only four or five superstars mm-hmm. in the NBA? I think he's going to be an all-star.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I think he's going to be a much better player in the NBA than he was in college. And he still put up historic numbers in college, 23, 8-4 at age 18. We've never seen that before. And he did it on a Duke team that ranked 327th in three-point percentage. You know, mm-hmm. he's an aggressive downhill driver, and he had no space to operate. So the fact that he even was able to put up those numbers, I think, is really impressive. I'm not sure that he's quite as special as Ja is in terms of his ability to think the game and make others better. But you know, he's what you're looking for, though. I mean, he has positional size. He's 6'7". Theoretically, he can guard a few positions, and he kind of fits where the NBA is trending. I just prefer Ja's upside a little bit more.
I'm with you 100%, Mike. Just curious, does the 66% from the free throw line concern you a little bit on RJ? Is that one you just look at, you know, percentages, oh, they'll go up? That one for me, for a skill guy, haunts me a little bit, concerns me a little bit. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was 67 this past year, you know, so I think he's going to get better there. He's a guy who works at it. He's a guy who's extremely confident in himself. He's had a professional approach, I mean, since he was like 15 years old, you know, he's been around it his whole life. His dad was a big time player. Steve Nash is, his godfather. So he's going to continue to get better. I don't think he's a natural shooter, you know, but
right.
He's a guy who puts enough time in the gym, gets enough reps up, and has enough confidence to where I think I'd be surprised if he wasn't at least a league average shooter when he's in his prime.
Okay.
And then I want to go back to Ja just real quick here, Mike, because obviously I think, you know, I think he immediately becomes the most marketable player in the history of the Grizzlies franchise, just with what he can do athletically and how dynamic he is. How much do you just believe in his stardom and sort of what his ceiling is, you know, multiple time all-star? Like, do you see that in his future?
Yes. What I love about this kid is he's not afraid of anything. Mm-hmm. Like, and he plays with a massive chip because he was not a guy who was heavily recruited until at least later on in his high school career. You know what I mean? He remembers that, you know, school X, Y, and Z weren't coming after him like they were some other kids in his state.
Yep.
And any time that team needed a big shot this year, any time they needed a big play, he stepped up. He carried that team to the NCAA tournament. And, you know, he plays to the crowd. He has a great charisma about him, but yet he's extremely confident, but yet he's humble as well. Like he's got this great ingredients, I think, that, you know, you have to give his parents credit. I think they did a great job of raising him. And, you know, being from Dalzell and then playing at a place like Murray, I think maybe going to a smaller market team like Memphis is certainly not the worst thing in the world. I think it's a natural fit.
Mike, if we take out team needs, take out all that and where we think they might fall, who are you most sure about after Zion, Ja, and RJ, after the top three? Who's the guy that you're most sure about?
I like Darius Garland.
Yeah.
I think he's really, really talented. You know, we didn't get to see it this year, unfortunately, just with the injury. But, I mean, it took me until, I don't know, I want to say maybe even January to fully say, like, okay, Ja Morant is for sure the best point guard in this draft. Like, that's how much I liked Darius coming into the season. He just, you know, if you look at the NBA, right, like the guys who are having success are guys who can shoot it off the dribble with range, right? Mm-hmm. Like whether it's Dame or Steph or, you know, Kyrie or, you know, it's guys who can play pick and roll and can really fill it up from well beyond the arc. And he's got the ball on a string and he's a better passer than I think he was able to show with the supporting cast. Mm-hmm. So, I'm really high on him. I mean, you know, we'll see how long it takes him just because, you know, he missed the full season. He's still young. You know, when is he going to be able to help you at a high level? I'm not sure, but from a talent perspective, he's got it all.
Yep.
Yeah, we are, of course, talking to Mike Smits, NBA draft analyst for ESPN. They want to turn you to sort of the future, even more so the future than 2019 draft, the 2020 draft. You're a guy who's seen a lot of James Wiseman, who obviously people in Memphis are very excited about. It sounds like from, you know, everything we've seen that he had a great spring in terms of, you know, the McDonald's game, the summit, the, you know, Jordan Brand, all of that. What do you think about him as a long-term prospect and you know, a potential NBA player when that time comes?
Yeah, he's super intriguing. He always has been. You know, he's had an incredible frame since he was, you know, 15 years old, extremely fluid. He's what you're looking for in the modern game if you're talking about bigs in terms of, you know, a guy who can switch, a guy who can protect the rim a little bit, who can step out, make an open three, handle it. He's just extremely agile and coordinated for a kid that size. I think the question with him is, has always been playing with consistent motor, consistent toughness, and finding one area to kind of hang his hat on. You know, he can do a little bit of everything, but I'm not sure he has an elite skill yet. But what we've seen from him as of late is, like, his motor just went to a new level over the last 6 months or so, and it seems like the switch has finally kind of come on in terms of, okay, this is what I need to do to have a consistent impact. And I think that elite skill has been in shot blocking. You know, I think that's what he's starting to realize, hey, this is my ticket. And, you know, if he continues to do that, I think he has everything you're looking for in a number one pick.
Do you think it's – I asked Evony this last week. I'm curious on your opinion, too. He thought it was – you know, RJ this time last year was the consensus number one for 2019. Percentage chance you think James Wiseman stays there. He thinks it's more wide open this year in terms of guys that could potentially pass James should he not have a good season at Memphis or whatever. Do you think it's wide open like that? Are there other guys around him that could pass him in your view? Or do you think he's pretty much a lock from your – from your standpoint?
Yeah, I think it's wide open. I agree with Jonathan. You know, Anthony Edwards is the name that comes to mind.
Yes, sir.
Down at Georgia, just in terms of, you know, the way the game is played now with shot creators and guys who can play pick and roll. And, you know, he's a physical specimen at 6'5", and really aggressive scorer. He's, you know, he's what teams want.
Yeah, he is.
So if he puts it together and you know, has a great season under Coach Tom Crean, I think that's a really good coach for him to learn from, you know, given who he's had and the NBA players he's produced. So I think those two are kind of the guys I look at at the top right now. But you never know, though. You never know. I mean, you know, we didn't have Zion. I don't even know if we had him in the top three coming into the season, you know. So you just never know.
And then also got to ask you about Precious Achiuwa, who you guys have in the top 10 currently right now, projected in 2020. The Tigers are the only college team, you know, in Division I with two projected top 10 picks right now in James Wiseman and Precious Achiuwa. What do you like from Precious?
Yeah, I mean, he looks like an NBA forward right now. You know, he's 6'9", he's got a 7'2 wingspan, shredded frame, and he can score. I mean, he's an aggressive scorer. I thought, you know, he showed his talent level at the Nike Hoop Summit. I think the key for him has always just been, one, his shooting, becoming a more consistent shooter, and then, you know, finding a way to get others involved consistently. But, I mean, he's really what you're looking for in terms of a guy who can defend multiple positions, who can make an open shot, who can get out in transition. Yeah, he's got all the tools to be a lottery pick, there's no question.
Yeah. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.